one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found Messiah. Which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which by interpretation, a stone. And I'm going to read one more verse. Verse 44 says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. And saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. I want to ask this morning, what are you most excited about? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what are you most excited about? You may be seated. I gather from all of the buzz in the media that later today there is some kind of sporting activity scheduled to take place. A game, I believe, which has filled millions of people worldwide with a promise of excitement. Now, I noticed that my wife and I have not been invited to watch the game with anybody. There will be some of y'all together today. I have seen people whispering. I don't know if they were saying, don't invite Pastor. All I know is that we have not been invited to where everyone else is going to be. Just because we haven't seen a game in 32 years, we still like chicken wings. Just because we may sit there and cheer for the wrong team or for both teams doesn't mean we don't want to be around you. I should tell you that one day we're just going to get in the car and show up at somebody's house, and then y'all really going to have to watch the game. There will be over 66,000 people in attendance at the U.S. Bank Stadium with the lowest ticket price at $3,000. And this is not counting the cost of travel, hotels, food, and souvenirs. It is believed that over 110 million more will watch the game on television while consuming an estimated 1.33 billion chicken wings and some 11 million slices of pizza. Additionally, people who are excited about the game will spend $227 million on potato chips, $13 million on vegetable trays, $10 million on deli dips, $89 million on popcorn, $58 million on deli sandwiches, $1.2 billion on beer, malt beverages and cider, $594 million on wine, and $503 million on whiskey and other liquors. Now, there are some people who will not attend church today because they are so focused on making sure the house is clean, they have enough food and drink, and enough room to support the crowd who will watch the game with them. And then there are those who have already, or will in a short while, begin to prepare themselves for the game. Unfortunately, a great number of them will be wasted before the game begins and will miss the entire event. Others, after consuming too much food and drink, will get behind the wheel of a deadly weapon and endanger their own life and the lives of others because of the excitement brought on by the game. Question is, what are you most excited about? It is estimated that 16.5 million Americans will not go to work on tomorrow. 10.5 million Americans will not go to work tomorrow because they planned ahead and requested and was granted permission to be off on tomorrow. 7.5 million would arrive late for work tomorrow. Exhaustion and probably flu symptoms will be the number one reason for calling in sick tomorrow. Are you praying with me? 34% of those over 21 who will call in sick will in fact be nursing a hangover. But the good thing is, they are excited today about being able to see the game and let how they feel in the morning take care of itself in the morning. Now, just let you know that I'm not simply being here being critical. To be fair, there are other things most of us show some form of excitement about. Birthdays and anniversaries. Brides walking down the aisle. Graduations and promotions. Seeing some people we haven't seen in years. Tell me when I hit yours. Vacations in places we love to visit. Moving into our first new purchased home. And receiving some unexpected money or benefits. What are you most excited about? Oh, I wish that believers in Christ would show Super Bowl type excitement for the Word of God and for the salvation of lost souls in our families, in our circles, on our streets. Love them enough as God loves us. In our scriptural text, we see three individuals with Super Bowl type excitement. John the Baptist, who sees Jesus as he walks along and proclaims to two of his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now understand that Israel was looking for and waiting for its coming Messiah. John, being the forerunner of this Messiah, told them constantly that he was among you. He whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to loosen. Bible says, as a result of what John said, two of John's disciples heard him speak, and the Bible says, and they followed Jesus. John said, "Behold," and they said, "Word." And they went and followed Jesus. John didn't say, "Y'all better not go over there. Hey, where you going?" John allowed them to go because he understood his role and the role of Jesus. Understanding your role and staying in your lane is very important in this life. The Bible says, then Jesus turned. Not that he had to, but he turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye?" Already knew the answer. And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live?" And he said, "Come and see." I heard him say one day, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head." He said, "Come and see. And I'm convinced that he did not go to the Hilton Garden Inns. I am convinced that he did not take them down to one of the Marriott hotels. I am convinced that the Holiday Inn was not the place he laid his head, but he told them to come." Oh, he invites us to do the same thing. Come and see. The Bible says they did what he said. They came and they saw where he dwelt. And instead of running away, they stayed with him that day, for the hour was late. It was 4 o'clock in the evening, and you did not want to be traveling in the dark at night. So they went and they stayed with him. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Look at this. The second person, John the first, second person, he first findeth his own brother. How many of us? But I don't have a brother. Cousin. Mama, daddy, nieces, nephews, stranger, co-workers, teachers, the guy at the service station. He first findeth, that's excitement there, his own brother Simon, and said unto him, I can see him saying this excitement, "We have found Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Now, that does not say Simon didn't say, "What? I don't believe that." But there was enough excitement in Andrew that he convinced his brother to come and see. And before he could say anything, the Bible says, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon," nobody told me that, "the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas," a stone, not a rock, but a stone. And then the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and Jesus findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. That meant they probably knew each other. Philip, full of excitement, findeth Nathanael, third person there, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said what we were all thinking. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Question is, what do you get the most excited about? Obviously for me, it's not the game. Haven't seen one since Refrigerator Perry was playing in 1986. Y'all remember Refrigerator? But what is it that gets you? Can I share with you what excites me? I get excited about seeing you here every Sunday morning, Tuesday, at meetings, and I get excited about seeing you. I get excited about fellowshipping with those who love God and trust Him. I get excited about looking out and seeing a living, walking, and talking miracle. Because we have enough of them around us. God supplies you with inspiration. What are you excited about? I get excited about seeing a lost soul get saved. Woo. I get excited about seeing a backslider restored. What do you get excited about? I get excited about seeing new members added to the church family, not just ours, the body of Christ. And then I get excited about knowing I'm going to leave here equipped to handle whatever comes my way until I get back. But that's not all. I was thinking this morning, what else you get excited about? Ooh. I get excited when I hear about the trust that Abraham had to follow God and leave his family. This God he had just met, he followed him. He says, I'm sending you or taking you into a new land. And Abraham dropped all that pagan stuff, grabbed his wife, his nephew, and his father, and they went into the land near Canaan. Left his family, left everything he knew to follow this new God. That's something. We ought to be ready to leave whatever we know or have known and become comfortable with to follow God. I get excited when I hear about the faith that Moses had as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. Moses was a late comer. Come on, somebody. Moses didn't have the kind of experience with God that some of us have. But yet he trusted God. For he had met God and God had saved him and changed him. But now Moses is leading God's people from exile into freedom through the Red Sea. They started complaining. But yet Moses kept the faith. When they say, how are we going to get across this water? And here come Pharaoh and his army. You brought us out here to die. And the Bible says, and Moses called God. God said, wait, what is that you got in your hand? He said, a rod. Point the rod out. Yeah, use what you got. And the Bible tells us that the water congealed. That there was a wall of water on either side that looked like jello. That's how firm it was. And that immediately the ground dried up in the Red Sea. And Moses said two words, go forth. And they went forth all night long. Can y'all see them? Not everybody was saved. Some had to be pushed. Some had to say, I'm going to wait to see if they get on the other side. And then they ran through. I get excited to know that when they got on the other side, that God uncongealed the water. And Pharaoh's army, chariots and all, drowned in the Red Sea. And the first thing they did, they sung a song. They got the mass choir together. And they said, there is no God like our God. Our God is a man of war. I get excited about that. Then I get excited about the tenacity, some may even say the stupidity, of young David coming out and saying, I'll face that giant. Man, 9'6" tall, armor everywhere, got a helmet on. He's so bad he got an armor bearer carrying his shield into war. Came out every day for 40 days and got on the Israelites, send me your warrior. And then David comes out and he says, am I a dog that you send this meal to me? Yeah, yeah. I'm going to stomp him into the ground. Boy, you better go back. Where your mama? David said, you come to me with sword and shield. But I come to you. In the name. Now, watch this now. I got 5 stones. I know you got 4 brothers, but they ain't here. Don't worry about it. I got 5 stones. But tell you what I'm going to do. I'm only going to use 1. And the one place that Goliath did not have armor was right here. And the rock went right there. It took Goliath, I think it was 7 minutes and 57 seconds to fall. He was that tall. And David went and took Goliath's sword and cut his head off. That's what they say, that they said Jesus was crucified on the place of the skull. It is said that when David brought the skull of Goliath, he brought his head back into Jerusalem, that they buried the head at the very place where Christ was crucified. Not just it was the place was shaped like a skull, but it also was the place that Goliath's skull was buried. And then I get excited. Let me move. I said I ain't going to preach long today. I get excited about the strength of the Hebrew boys when they talk to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, do you know what I can do with you? And he didn't do nothing unless God give permission. And he said, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been. And they heated the furnace, the fiery furnace, so hot that the man who took them up died. There is nobody to push them in to the fiery furnace. But because they believed in God and said, my God is able, even if he don't do it, I know that he's able. And then they took a step down into the fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar said to his people, did not we throw 3 into the fire? They said, oh, yes, King. He said, but I see 4. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. He told the people, open the door, open the door. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out of the fire. And he didn't tell that 4th one to come out. Come on out of the fire. Leave the 4th one in. Close the door, close the door. And they came out. And he said, they had no smell of smoke on them. Their hair was not singed. Their clothes was not singed. It was as though they did not go in there, but they came out pure. And he said, you know what? I believe he was still looking in that furnace. He said, you know, I'm going to promote you guys. I'm going to make y'all over the people. Let me move on. I'm excited about John the Baptist. The Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and the came running up to him and saying, why are you baptizing people out here? And he said, and they said to him, are you the one, the prophet? Who are you that you should do this? We came to get that information because we need to go back and tell the people that ask us. They sent us here. Who are you? And John said, I am one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way. Make straight the way of the Lord. But are you that prophet? No, but there is one standing among you whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unleash. Not only did he tell them he wasn't, but he also picked the correction. He started correcting the wrong person, King Herod, who was dating and marrying his niece, who happened to be his brother Philip's wife. So his brother Philip married his niece first, and then he came along and took his niece from his brother. Yes, confusing to y'all, but he took him and he told them that you have no right to be with your brother's wife. And that just, in her name was Herodias. Maybe I won't be short today. Well, I'm always short, but I get excited. I'm gonna hurry home. About the radical behavior of Paul and Silas as they sung and prayed while locked up in a dungeon, a smelly dungeon in a jail in Philippi. They have been placed in there illegally. And they're not in the main floor. It's not like Pearl Street. They were down two stories down into the dungeon where the sewage ran by. And then they were locked in stocks. Their feet were out in front of them. Their hands were in front of them. They couldn't go to the bathroom except. And they were locked in there in the dark. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas sang and prayed unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They had a midnight revival while locked up in stocks. In a smelly place that nobody else wanted to be. And they prayed and sang songs. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sin. I believe they sang, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He encouraged my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name. And the prisoners are listening. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence. They prayed. You know what I like about this story? The jail shook. Jailhouse Rock. That was one of those. I preached that once as Jailhouse Rock. And then I remember doing it as All Shook Up. I took two Elvis Presley songs. And then I'm excited about the attentiveness of John the Revelator as God dictated to him the book of the Revelation. Exiled. Don't you know sometimes we have to be in a rough place before we'll finally hear God? Some of us have it too good. We need to be tested and tried so that we can depend on God and know that he is the only one that can get me out of this. But we want a smooth ride. Come on, somebody. We want to float through life unchallenged because I said I'm saved. That's not the basis. Jesus, the object of our salvation, was tested and tried. Do I have a witness? You ought to give God some praise in here. As much as I like them stories, there is nothing like the Jesus story. The one that talked about him standing up one day in the eternity past and come walking down through 42 generations, stepping off in a place called Bethlehem, born in an animal trough. Do I have a witness? Smelly animal droppings all around, because he could not stay at the Holiday Inn. He could not stay at Pilate's house. He could not stay at the house of the king. He was born low, that I can be exalted. Born like a pauper. He who said in the beginning was born, there was no room for him. He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He had no place. And he grew up in the house of his mother and stepfather. The Bible says he was obedient to them. And then one day, as John the Baptist is down by the Jordan River, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." I'm almost done. John said, "I did not know him. He was related to me, but we never played marbles together. He was related to me, but we never did hopscotch together. He was related to me, but I knew him not. What I knew is that he who called me, God, said, 'Upon whom you see a dove land, that is Messiah.' And he says, 'And I saw the heavens open up and a dove came down and landed on him, and I heard a voice.'" He didn't say "we." He said, "I heard." They said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And then somewhere he disappeared, but I heard the Spirit. The Holy Spirit took him and brought him immediately out into the wilderness, where he was tested for 40 days. Where he was in the wilderness for 40 days without food. And then at the end of the 40 days, he's tested by the devil. I'm so glad that he passed all tests. I'm so glad that he came and he did for me what he said he was going to do. I'm so glad that one day he died on an old rugged cross. He died for my sins, and he died for your sins. But the Bible says early that Sunday morning. Wait. The Bible says that in the end of the Sabbath, I'm almost done, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which is crucified." And then he said, "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. As I take my seat, Reverend, I look and I have to repeat this today. You see, he said, come and see, for he is not here. The empty tomb is something to be excited about. It's something to be excited about, for what it says to all who will listen. The empty tomb says to philosophy, try to explain away this event. The empty tomb says to science, try to repeat this event. The empty tomb says to history, try to hide this event. The empty tomb says to time, try to blot out this event. The empty tomb says to the devil, try to deny this event. The empty tomb says to the unsaved, try to ignore this event. I came to tell you that Herod couldn't kill him. Satan couldn't tempt him. Pilate couldn't condemn him. The Pharisees couldn't destroy him. The cross couldn't defeat him. Death couldn't silence him. The grave couldn't hold him. And the new age can't replace him. I'm so glad. I'm excited to know that one day when my life is over, I'll see him face to face. I'll see him as he is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I'll see him for myself. I'm excited. I'm excited knowing that eternity is promised to me. I'm excited knowing that I'll spend my eternity in the presence of God. Do I have a witness? Excited, 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 overwhelmed, excited. What are you excited about?